The following is a presentation of Remnant.
I am reaching from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. I'm a child, I'm a poor, I am needed. To the throne of your virtue.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotze, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayer is that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Kind of glad to get the last sermon in this message because I wanted to tie it all together and kind of address an issue that's come up two or three times. And that is, you know, Jerry, and I've heard this over and over again, I'm sure the other pastors have heard it too. You know, Jerry, it's great when you talk about prayer, and I believe in praying. But what happens if we don't get an answer? What happens when we pray and it seems like it's bouncing off the ceiling back to us? We pray for a job and we don't get one. We pray for our friend or loved one to get saved and they don't. We pray for healing and it doesn't come. What's going on? How does this work? If God says he'll answer our prayer, and it says if we ask in faith according to his will, it'll be done. If it says we can move a mountain into the ocean, why can't I get my neighbor saved? Why can't I get that job I want? And I'm here to tell you this morning that God answers every single one of our prayers. You just may not get the answer you want. So, let's look at John chapter 11, kind of a long passage. We'll read it through, and then, because I want to give you the whole context of it, and then we'll go on. Oh, the message today is bad connection, because sometimes we feel like we got a bad connection. Sometimes we feel like, hello, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And God says, yeah, I got you. So, here are the hashtags for today. Bad connection, connect. We encourage you to tweet the message. Tweet your points, put it on your Facebook page, Google+, whatever you got. All right. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. One of the most incredible portions of Scripture you'll ever read, where this lady comes and pours this costly perfume all over Jesus' feet and then dries his feet with her hair. An amazing portrait of devotion. The alabaster box. It's incredible. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No. It's for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now that's an important verse there. It is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. That doesn't make sense. Hey, my brother's sick, and I really love them. I'm going to stay here for a couple more days. Then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, that Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? Because they didn't have a really good experience last time they were there. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Every time you think you're spiritually dense, you need to read about the disciples. Because they were not exactly great theologians in their own right. Lord, if he's asleep, he'll wake up. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, or also known as Eeyore the donkey, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let's also go that we may die with him." I love Thomas, I do, because I feel like Thomas every now and then. All right, let's go. They're going to stone us. Let's go. And just a reminder, in those days when you got stoned, it was with real rocks. Just thought I'd point that out to somebody like, hey, they're going to get stoned. Cool. No, not cool. I was channeling my inner Spicoli there for a moment. That's from a movie called Fast Times. Some of you young people will get it later. Look it up. IMDb. Okay. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, that's a profession of faith, isn't it? Lord, if you were just here, but you weren't. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? 27, yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who's come in the world. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. Verse 29, when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And if you're Jesus at this point, like, man, I hope there are no more family members to tell me that same thing. I get it. He didn't. He was more patient than I am. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Don't get it twisted, folks. Don't think that Jesus didn't care about their suffering. Don't think that Jesus didn't care what Lazarus had gone through. Don't think that he didn't see the grief in their eyes and didn't care. He wept for them. He also knew something else was afoot. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Ever done that? Lord, you know, I know you're the God of creation, but hey, couldn't you have, you know, done something here? I've asked God that. I got voted out of a church, and I believed it was right for me to be pastor there. I got voted out. And I asked God, hey, God, you're the big strong guy in the universe. Couldn't you work this out? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away a stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor. He's been there 4 days. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and what Jesus did, believed in him. It's an amazing, amazing passage of scripture. And sometimes it seems that if we don't get the answer we're looking for, we think God didn't hear us. If we don't get the answer we want exactly when we want it, we just assume the connection was bad and we need to re-el. Oh, better call her again. She's obviously not answering because she doesn't. We're kind of like We really are. We're kind of like the three retirees that are walking along, and one of them said, kind of windy, isn't it? The next one said, no, it's Thursday. And the third one said, me too, let's go get a Coke. We don't always hear right, do we? And it's easy for us to think that just because God didn't jump like some bellhop in heaven, that our prayer wasn't answered. And I said before, I will tell you that God answers every single one of our prayers. Now, are there prayers that don't get immediately moved on by God? Yeah, because we have sin in our lives. If we ask for wrong motives. If I were to pray right now, God, I want you to grow a remnant to be 1,000 people, God, so that I can be like the coolest pastor in Imperial. And I can quit my job at the sheriff's office, and I can just be a full-time pastor, and Frank can quit his job, and we'll just be cool, God. All three of us up here will be cool. We're ripping suits. I'm not wearing a suit. I don't care how big our church gets. I'm not wearing a suit, so you just forget about that. That prayer ain't going to get answered. Or if it is, the answer is no. That's the wrong reason for me wanting to grow this church. That's me feeding my ego. That's me feeding my pride. God's not going to answer that prayer. Or if he is, it's going to be, shut up, Godsy. I'm pretty sure I hear that sometimes. God uses delayed or seemingly unanswered prayers to help us grow. I want you to think about this. If you got everything you wanted every time you opened your mouth to God, you'd be a spoiled brat. Remember the movie Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? I didn't think about it until I was standing right there, or I would have brought the clip. Where Veruca Salt, little spoiled rich girl, I want it now! You know what? I will lay the right hand of fellowship across your behind. We were in Walmart the other day, and some kid was screaming, just screaming, for like 15 minutes. And I told Lynette at least 20 times, I can make that kid stop that. I will fix that for her. And the moms, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to find the kid. You know, driving around with the cart looking for the kid. There she is. And the mom's just looking at stuff. And the kid's like screaming right here. Maybe the mom was deaf. I don't know. Nobody else around her was. And we're all looking at her like, shut that kid up. So let's look at Mary and Martha for a second. They prayed, and they earnestly prayed to God, and they believed that God, that Jesus would do something, didn't they? There was no problem with their devotion. Look at chapter 11, verse 1 again. Now a man named Lazarus sick, he was from Bethany. Okay, this is Mary whose brother Lazarus now sick, the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. They showed devotion, didn't they? There was no problem with their desire. They desired God more than anything else. They wanted their brother to be saved. Sometimes we pray selfish prayers, though. If I prayed that this church would be 1,000 people so that I could be, you know, cool, that's a selfish prayer. That's not me wanting to see God's kingdom grow. Let me tell you something. I want to see Remnant be 1,000 people. But not because I want to be the coolest pastor on the block. Because I know that's 1,000 people who aren't going to hell, who we're touching. Don't get twisted about it. I want this place to grow. I want it to grow like crazy. Why? Because I know those are souls. Those are people whose hearts have been touched. Or who are in the process of getting touched. I really, really love the fact that on every Sunday morning, not every one of you is sold out as a Christian yet. Some of you are kind of working your way toward it. And you're looking, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to try this out. The fat guy's a little weird. The other two guys are okay, but the fat guy's a little strange. And you're just kind of seeing how this all fits together. That's okay. That's why we do church this way. Make no mistake about it, baby. You're here because of that. And you're here because God has a divine appointment for your life to make your life better. You can't sit here very long and not have it change you. suckers. They didn't have a lack of faith. They believed. They knew that Jesus could do it. He just didn't. He didn't get there in time. Truth is, though, every one of our prayers kind of looks like a traffic signal. Now, I don't like the top two lights on the traffic signal. I'm more of the bottom light kind of guy. Although, the top light is good because I know it's going to go from red to green, and green, you know what green means, tromp on it and go. I like that one. Every now and then, though, the answer is the red light. Nope. There are times when God says, you ain't getting that. Dear Lord, give me hair. Give me hair, Lord. And he did. I just wasn't specific enough, and I've got it on my back and not my head. It's really more information than you needed. Lord, make me skinny and give me Ferrari. As you can tell, God has not seen fit to answer those prayers either. Or he has, they're just, no, God, see. No, I got a speeding ticket in a Hyundai. Not even the good Hyundai. The little cheap one when it first came out. I got a speeding, granted I was going downhill, honest goodness, but I got a ticket in a Hyundai. What am I going to do in a Ferrari? I will wrap it around a tree. Sometimes the answer is the yellow light. And while I was teaching as a youth pastor one time, I said, hey, so what's the yellow light mean? The kid in the youth group, stomp on it. No, that's not what it means. The yellow light means slow down or wait. There are times when God's answer to us is, okay, but not right now. Oh, and we hate this answer, don't we? This is where we think God didn't hear us. But Lord, I've been praying for 10 or 15 minutes for this. Well, congratulations, Sparky. I prayed for 10 years or so for my dad to come to Christ. And I'm glad it happened before he passed. And there were days I thought it was never going to happen. There are times when, especially when God is dealing with the will of somebody else, that God has to get them to a place where they're ready. And make no mistake about it, sometimes that's going to take tragedy. Sometimes that's going to mean they're going to go through the ringer. And we pray, Lord, I want you to bring them to Christ, but Lord, don't make them suffer. Sometimes suffering is the only tool God can use. Sometimes you got to tenderize the meat before you can make dinner. Amen. Let me tell you something. God has used his tenderizing hammer on me a few times. You ever watch those cooking shows and they take the bad steak and they beat it with that little mallet thing? I felt like that piece of meat a few times. All right, Lord, I think I'm about flat enough. Lord says, no, I think I can get it some more. Little spiky hammer thing. Hey. I don't like that spiky hammer thing. And sometimes, and this is what we really like it, the answer is go. Go. We prayed for a Brawley church, and we thought we had a green light. And then the yellow light came up, and we're like, okay. And then the red light came up. Oh, man. What now? Now we're waiting. In my heart of hearts, in my vision, I believe God's going to do it. And this is the time when I got to say, okay, God, in your perfect time, something will happen. It may be that God doesn't answer that prayer for 10 more years. All right, I got time. It may be that God wants us to do something else before we get to that. Okay, I got time, God. God's time, God's place, God's work. So, let's talk about maybe some reasons why God gives us that red light or that yellow light, huh? First of all, maybe it's so we can believe. Look at John 11, 14 and 15. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Sometimes we forget that love permits pain. If you're a parent, you'll understand that. That sometimes love permits pain. My boys growing up got plenty of bumps and bruises and things. We had a lady who used to come, I told you before, when I was teaching at Faith Academy, we had a lady who used to come to school and watch over her little boy at recess to make sure he didn't get any bruises. Now, he didn't have a medical condition or anything. It wasn't like he was a hemophiliac or somewhere. She just didn't want him to get bruises. I don't know if that was going to make him less of a trophy or what. I don't know what the problem with that was. But to me, that's like having a brand new, you know, one of those, a 68 Shelby GT500 Mustang. And it's, man, it's pristine. And you walk out in the garage and you look at it every day. Ooh, that's a good car. That's fast, 427 Cobra Jet, 4-speed manual. Really fast. And all the miles it has on it is from the garage to the trailer. From the trailer to the place where you show it off at the car show. Uh-uh. That car was meant to be driven. It's going to get rock chips in the paint. It's going to get little pieces of rubber all over the wheel wells from doing burnouts. You don't have a car like that to show it off. You got a car like that to drive. Otherwise, it's not fulfilling its purpose. And there are times when God, in his purpose, has to let us get a few bumps and bruises. God has to let us go through pain. Some of you are here today. You're following Christ because your pain drove you to him. That if everything had stayed hunky-dory in your life, you never would have come to Christ. Or you would have continued just kind of doing your own thing and kind of halfway serving him. Man's disappointments are often God's appointments. Man's disappointments are often God's appointments. Jesus' delay allowed Lazarus to die so he could perform the miracle of resurrection and increase the faith of his disciples. Because Jesus knew that the day of his death was coming. And once he died, those disciples were going to have to reach into their reservoir of faith in order to go on. Sometimes we go through pain today so that tomorrow we know we can make it through. Sometimes the pain of 2 weeks ago comes back and gives us strength in a month. God lets us go through things so that we can be stronger. Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, I regret that I've waited so long. He doesn't say, I should have been here sooner. He says, no, I'm glad I wasn't there. Glad? The word seems out of place. Glad? Yeah. Glad, because he knew their faith needed to be made stronger. And it was. He's not only glad because of their sorrow, but also because of the result of it. He knew that God was going to do something in them. Two men were talking about the experiences they had. One said to the other, it's terribly hard to trust God in the dark. The other man looked at him and said, if you can't trust a man when he's out of your sight, then he's not worth much. And if you can't trust God in the dark, it shows you don't trust him at all. Wow. I came across that quote this week and I got shivers. If you can't trust God in the dark, you don't trust him at all. Second reason is to teach us truth. Verse 22. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who's come into the world. We have great past. We have great faith yesterday. I know that God blessed those people in the Bible, and I know that God helped me yesterday. And I know that someday I'm going to be blessed by the Lord. But right now, God, I'm hurting. Martha said, Lord, I know that you're the God of the past and you've done great things in the past. And I know that my brother is going to rise again in the future. But right now, God, here in the present, he's dead. And I'm struggling with that. Let me tell you something, folks. God is the God of the present and the past and the future. We rejoice because of what God has done in the past. We rejoice because of what God is going to do in the future. But we got to rejoice about what God is doing right this second. And that's hard because right now we're feeling the hammer. Right now that little spiky hammer thing is banging us on the back of the head and it hurts. Like, hey, just like give me a couple of seconds of rest here. No, here's another spiky hammer thing. And sometimes it feels like he's got help. He's got more people with a spiky hammer. Like, hey, you were doing pretty good on your own, God. You don't need to add these guys. And it's hard. If you could trust God in the future, you could trust him in the present. His power doesn't change. So we look back at what he's done in the past and we say, okay, if he did it yesterday, there's no reason he won't do it tomorrow. And there's no reason he won't do it today. John 5, 25 through 29 says, very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have in himself. And he's given him authority to judge because he's the Son of Man. Look at verse 28. Don't be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. If God, in his Son Jesus, can empty the graves of everybody that's ever passed, some to heaven, some to hell, is it really that hard for him to take care of Lazarus? This is one dude. I heard a preacher say one time, it might have been my grandpa, say when Jesus looked in the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forward, he had to say Lazarus or all the other people come out too. Now, I have trouble with that because I don't think God is like a hose full of power. Oh, I can't control it. No, I think he was pretty focused there. If God's word, at the snap of his fingers, the dead will rise, some to judgment, some to condemnation, is it really that hard for him to take care of one thing, one person? If God can, by the stroke of his hand, create the heavens and the earth, by the words of his mouth, call into being an entire universe and galaxies and solar systems, you really think it's hard for him to give you a job? You really think it's hard for him to heal you if you're sick? But that's all stuff that God did for other people. That's not us struggling today, is it? That's where it gets hard. You know, I pray the prayer of faith over you and believe God to touch you. And, oh, God, God's gonna do great things in you. But when I'm the one who's hurting, it's a little harder, isn't it? Martha projected God's resurrection power into the future. But Jesus said, it's right here in front of you, Martha. And then he asked her the million-dollar question that he asks each one of us today. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? God sometimes may delay an answer to our prayer in order for us to be closer to him. He wanted her to exercise her faith in the present, not just the past and the future. She had to deal with that. And if you're hurting this morning, God has peace. God has grace, but he may be building up your faith. Third way, and this is where it gets kind of tough, as a witness. Verse 45, therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. He opened a whole new door of opportunity for Mary and Martha and Lazarus. As a result of the resurrection of Lazarus, people came to Christ who wouldn't have come to Christ otherwise. They had to see that with their own eyes or they wouldn't have bought it. Are you willing to suffer so that people can come to Christ? Look how quiet, didn't it? Well, yes, Jerry. I no, not really. The miracle that took place as a result of the delayed answering prayer brought a great witnessing opportunity. I will never forget going to see Sister Doyle in Sealy with my uncle. Her body racked with cancer. We went to pray with her. We went to give her comfort. She grabbed my uncle's hand, Pastor Brewer at Faith Assembly. She grabbed his hand and she said, "Pastor Brewer, don't you dare pray that God heals me." He was like, "What?" She said, I've fought the good fight. I've run the good race. I'm ready to go home." She said, "Pray that God touches my sons through this." That was 40 years ago, 35 years ago. It still kicks my behind every time I think of it. She was ready to go on to her reward. She didn't want to say it, but she didn't want to leave her sons behind. There are times when, through our pain, God brings people to Him. Through the unanswered prayer, the quote, unanswered prayer, God brings people to Him. Are you ready? Are you willing to pray that prayer? God, I want to follow You. I want my sons to follow You. God, if it takes me going home, if it takes me going through pain, is it worth it? I'm talking to Jerry Godsey right now to watch my sons come back to Him. Yeah. And it scares me to death to pray that prayer. Because I don't want to hurt. I don't want to be in pain. But I can't imagine heaven being as joyful a place without my boys there. And it kills me. So God, whatever that cost, God, give me strength. I'll do it. Are you ready for God to use you to bless others? Fourth reason is sometimes it's to show His glory. Verse 4. When He heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." God's glory is at stake in our lives. Does our prayer life bring honor to Him? The ultimate plan of God in permitting your trials, troubles, and grief is often to bring attention to the Lord God and His power and purposes. There's a part of me that wanted to apologize for getting weepy, but I'm not going to. That's my heart, and I know some of you guys are hurting in the same way. We go through this to show God's glory. The ultimate plan of God in permitting your trials, troubles, and grief often is to bring attention to the Lord God, His power, and His purposes. And I know some of you are here today and you're hurting. Where's God's power? What is God's purpose? See, sometimes when we're hurting, when we're going through stuff, we're so busy asking God why. We never stop and say, "God, show me Your glory. Show me Your power. Show me Your purpose, God." When I was playing football, first time I had to lift weights, the coach wasn't going to make us eat raw eggs. Oh, 6 raw eggs every day. Put them in a cup. They didn't have protein powder. This is back in the old days. They didn't have no protein powder. It was 6 raw eggs in a cup, and they were staring at you. The bottom of that cup was staring at you. And And I told him, Coach, I can't do it. It was just slimy. And the only thing worse than that is cottage cheese. Cottage cheese is just nasty. God did not intend people to eat cottage cheese, I'm telling you right now. Oh, we put pineapple in it. Well, that just makes it gross and sweet. Now you just ruined good pineapple. So I told him, I can't do it, Coach. I can't. He said, well, pour some orange juice in it, stupid. Well, now you just got slimy orange juice. That doesn't help. And I couldn't figure out, why do I have to eat? Why do I have to drink stupid raw eggs? Because now I know that the protein helps build muscle. And the whole reason of lifting weights every day was because you have to tear that muscle fiber in half to make it bigger. You see these guys, these big old muscle, you know, the guys that can't move their arm. They can't even comb their own hair because they're so muscle bound, you know. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger. What you see when you see those big muscles is the process where repeatedly those muscles were torn in half and allowed to heal and then torn in half and then allowed to heal and then torn in half and allowed to heal. And that's how you built bulk. So, look, as a football player and then later on as an athletic trainer, I got that. I understood that. I still don't like it. I still look at the weight room and go, ooh. But I get it. Because I understand that these guys that don't lift weights are going to spend their entire career in football, and it won't be a long one, getting pushed all around the field or being kickers. That's their two options. You can be a punter or you can be, you know, a guy that lifts weights, but you can't. Every now and then there's punters that lift weights. You see that guy from the Colts? I made that big tackle a couple of weeks ago, and then he had to do a random drug test the next day. I don't think that's a coincidence. If you're being torn, what's the purpose? So that God can make you stronger. If you're going through it right now, I want you to listen to me. If you're going through it right now, and you don't feel like God's heard your prayer, I'm here to tell you, God heard every single word you said. God heard everything you said. I wasn't going to use it, but I got a story here about a little boy, two little brothers, and they're staying at their grandparents' house, and at bedtime, the two boys knelt by their bed, and one of them starts really, really loud, Lord God, I want a new bicycle, and I want a new Nintendo, And finally, his brother nudged him and says, what's wrong with you? God's not deaf. And he said, no, but Grandma is. We ask God to do things. We ask God to move. And because it doesn't happen, we think, well, God must be deaf. This must be a bad connection. No. God hears you. And there are times when God weeps with you. But he lets you go through so that you can see the incredible thing at the end. And I will tell you right now, if you're praying for something that hasn't happened yet, don't stop. Don't give up on the doorstep of the miracle. Don't give up on the doorstep of God asking you. And somebody said, well Jerry, if God's just going to do it anyway, if he has the power to do it anyway, why do I have to pray? God's as strong as he's going to get. Who's he trying to make strong? Whose faith is he trying to build? God didn't raise a bunch of Veruca Salt spoiled brats. He gave birth to children who understand discipline and being patient and looking for the glory of God. You may not get it today. You may not get it tomorrow. But it's coming. It's coming. Not too very long after this, Jesus was hanging on a cross on a Friday. I preached a message here once that I stole from Tony Campolo. It said, it's Friday. When they hung Jesus by that cross, The sky got dark. He breathed his last breath. It looked like the devil had won. But that was Friday. And Sunday was coming. When the disciples ran in fear and pain and sorrow, that was Friday. But Sunday was coming when they would go to his tomb, find he'd risen again. They saw the sorrow. They saw the pain. They went through the grief. Then they went through the glory and the power, God's presence. I'm afraid that you can't have one without the other. So what do you choose today? Look, if you're going through it right now and you don't want to wait on God, you can walk out of here and your life doesn't have to change. Go on. See you later. Hasta luego. Bye con Dios. Your mama's a llama. Sorry. You can walk out of here. You don't have to go through this. You don't want to worry about God's glory and you don't want to go through the suffering. And you know what? This is too big a price, God. See, I'm out of here. Good. Go. By the way, you're still going to suffer. You're still going to feel pain. You're just not going to have the promise of God's glory afterward. Well, that doesn't seem like a good idea, does it? If you came to Christ with the idea that you would never have to go through pain, somebody sold you a bill of goods. That ain't right. Here's the promise we have is that God will see us through. Ball's in your court now. I am reaching
from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.